I'd like to speak quite briefly so that perhaps in the last meeting we might have three speakers. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, prove out in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the jewel bound. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, nor a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen, he shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the head over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. It's a word of encouragement to us all, isn't it? To know that Jehovah himself has taken it in hand to set the one that we love there at his own right hand. And he has decreed that what we have read together in the 110th Psalm shall be the portion of this blessed one. In Psalm 109 he's the poor and the needy one, crying for help from Jehovah. But not in Psalm 110. He's not the poor and needy one now. He's the one who was exalted there to the right hand of God. And the one that we were saying this afternoon according to Psalm 8, the one who will make the name of Jehovah excellent in all the earth. Oh, he's the one that's going to bring in glory to God and blessing to man in no unmistakable way. Something that's going to be manifestly seen throughout the whole world. Wonderful languages used in the book of Isaiah, as we were reminded this afternoon. And even in the Psalms, Psalm 72, where we have a description of some of the conditions that shall prevail. So that there's going to be peace and plenty. And even on the top of the mountains, there's going to be an abundance of corn. Food, where we would find glaciers today, and men who are only spirited men would attempt to climb them. But these are places when Christ is reigning. There are going to be fruitful places for the benefit of the whole of mankind. And here we have the exaltation of this blessed person. You know, it's grand to sing with the understanding. We were singing one way this afternoon of his exaltation. Sweet it is, my saints, to think of all thine exaltation. Here we have the exalted one sitting on the right hand. Right hand, the place of power. Until. Did you know that little word until? It's stretched over 2,000 years now. It hasn't come to the aisle yet. Perhaps very soon it will. Oh, the time is short, brethren. One would desire that these meetings might spur us on to be those who shall use up every opportunity, every available moment of getting together with the saints of God and enjoying now that which is to be our eternal portion. So that when we do come into it, we'll be no strangers there. Would we be been reading, haven't we, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? He must reign till all enemies be put under his feet. He's the one who was going to subdue every enemy. And he's the one who was going to bring in peace and blessing. Listen, brethren, there's not many people can be trusted with power. The power is going to be entrusted. The pleasure of Jehovah is going to prosper in that blessed hand that was nailed to Calvary's cross. The one who could submit himself to the shameful death of Calvary's cross is the one into whose hand the pleasure of Jehovah is going to prosper, and he's going to rule in righteousness. And in these verses, I don't intend to enlarge greatly upon them. We would if it was just the ministry meeting. But here we have the Lord himself in that place of supremacy and power, ready just at the word from the Father to come and to take his rightful place here in this world. And you know, he'll not be refused when he comes back next time. It will not be in humility. It will be in tremendous power and pomp and glory. He come to claim his rights. The one who has not only the title deeds of heaven, he has the title deeds of earth. Because of where he has been. Remember what the parable said? He bought the field. He bought the field. The whole seed belongs to him. In two ways. He created it. We were saying, coming along to Kilkeel, you know, as we looked out upon the beautiful sleigh, I said to my wife, the sleigh is his. And he made it. But the whole seed is his. He's purchased it with his own precious blood. The whole seed belongs to him. Not only by creation, but by redemption. And you know, even men and women have been bought with that precious blood. Peter says, of course, they might deny him. The one who paid the price of their redemption, they might deny him. But you and I can thank God here tonight that we've accepted him. And we've come in not only for redemption, but we've been purchased. We belong to him, purchased by his precious blood. But there's a day coming. We've been thinking of it today. That wonderful day when Christ will come. And he'll be here, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says here in this verse that his people should be willing in the day of his power. But brethren, I think it's a wonderful thing that there are people who are willing in the day of his absence, in the day of his rejection. Hearts are being won. We've been brought to love this blessed person. So it has to answer now, in some little measure at least, to the will of God. And in that day, willingness, oh, as much that accumulates, isn't there, to bring that willingness about. We think of the tribulation period through which they pass. But we think mostly of the Lord himself, what he's going to do with his earthly people. He's going to put his law in their hearts, and in their minds, he says, will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I know that we take these things to ourselves, and rightly so. But you know, primarily, these are truths concerning the nation of Israel in a coming day when the law is going to be put into their hearts and in their minds. They're no longer going to be on two tables of stone. Often being said, you know, you cannot get much response from a stone, can you? you can get a response from the heart. That's where he's going to put it, in their hearts. And not only in their hearts, but in their minds. There's going to be an intelligent response as well as an affectionate response to their true Messiah. They're going to be willing in the lady's power. And as we were hearing from our brother last night, it's not a lot of old men that are going to serve him instead of the fathers that's going to be the children. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Oh, yes. It speaks of the energy, doesn't it? And the alertness that there's going to be in the fulfillment of the will of God. The will of God, this is when we are going to see it, you know. That prayer is going to be answered that the Lord gave to the disciples. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is going to be done by even that rebellious nation. They're going to be turned right round about, and they're going to be willing in the day of his power. And in the energy of youth, there's going to be the answer to the blessed Lord himself. Everything that would defile is going to be dealt with. Head over many countries even is going to be dealt with. Places filled with the dead bodies, you've only got to read the book of the Revelation and see the terrible scene there for the space of what? How many furlongs? Blood out of the horses' bridles. Yes, he's going to fill the places with the dead bodies. Wound the head over many countries. The man of sin, he's going to be dealt with by the blessed Lord himself. And it would be a word for you and me, brethren. Don't let us bother about these people who are all teaching wrong and all the rest of it. Don't let us try and put them right. Don't let you and I try and deal with them. The Lord's going to deal with all that. And he'll deal with it in a way that you and I can't. But if some of us were saying in the house the other night, and I'm going to sit down, I said I was going to speak briefly. Whilst the Lord is waiting for his enemies to be made the footstool of his feet, while he's waiting for his people to be made willing in the day of his power, whilst he's waiting for the clearing of the whole scene so that that kingdom shall be established in righteousness, the last verse in this psalm says, he shall drink of the brook by the way. You know, associated with the Lord's Supper that we began these meetings with. The servant of the Lord could write to the Corinthians and say that as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come, till he come. And here the Lord, he drinks of the brook. By the way, the Lord is not losing anything because of the rejection of the nation, or by the rejection of the nations. He's receiving from the hearts of those who love him refreshment in the day of his rejection. His heart is being ravished, and as we were saying in the room the other night, who can estimate what this means to the Lord himself? In a scene rampant with sin and wickedness, to find little companies of the saints gathered with heart's affection overflowing to himself. Who can estimate what that means to him in the day of his rejection? There it is, he shall drink of the brook by the way. You and I have the privilege of giving him that drink and refreshing his heart in the day of his rejection. But I'm going to sit down with this word to you, dear brethren, as we thought of in the epistle of Peter this afternoon. Knowing these things, seeing that all these things shall be settled, that there's a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness is going to dwell. What manner of persons ought we to be? This is the way that it comes to each one of us tonight, is it not? That this should have an effect upon us. That we should be controlled by these thoughts that we've been expressing in the presence of each other. So that there may be that answer, even now, that is going to be a universal answer in the day to come when these things are brought to pass. May the Lord bless you.
Night before such, to be in all that company of the children of God. But I feel as if I've been urged to add a little word to what has already gone before, and with the thought in my mind of the last speaker about thy people being willing in the power, in the day of thy power. Now that appeals to us, beloved brethren, to be a bit on the evil side of something to do. When everything is going right, and everything is in the hand of Christ, the one to whom all power is given, how blessed it will be to be in association with him, to be even the full fullness of him that shall fill all things. What another blessed privilege we have got at the present moment to be associated with him in his rejection. Just turn with me to the 23rd of the 2nd Samuel, just to get a little of the longing, as we say of the heart, that blessed, precious, important time. Samuel chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13 and 3. Will you excuse me, beloved brethren? I'm reading from James English translation. Will that be accepted? And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of the town. And when the troop of the Philistines were encamped in the valley of Bethlehem. And David was then in his stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Who that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate?" And the 3 mighty men rode through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. However, he would not drink of it, but poured it out. I believe it's in the 45th chapter of Genesis, where you get another longing, a heart desire, was that of Judah. When he could say, "Come near unto me, my brethren." I believe, beloved brethren, that we felt, as it were, the drawing powers of the love of God, the grace of Christ, the fellowship and the love permeating the saints of God through the work of Christ in our meetings since we have been gathered together. We have seen in the faces, surely, of one another, a smile and an appreciation as blessed, precious impressions of Christ and of his words and of his love, the love of God and the grace of Christ have been expressed. How pleasant and how pleasurable, beloved brethren, these things surely are to us all. In this chapter, we get, as it were, a type of the Lord Jesus saying, "Oh, that one." In the 4th of John, we get the Blessed Lord Himself saying to that woman of the well, "Give me to drink." I believe it's in the 20th of John where you get that same Blessed One saying, "Children, have you any meat?" Is there anything, beloved brethren, in this as a word to the heart of the affections that divine persons are desiring, that there might be a response from the hearts of those that have been brought to God by Christ, by divine love, at such a cost that something might be gathered from these poor hearts of ours and get treasured by God because they speak